Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Perspectives, the Cedar Creek Midweek Podcast, where we're going to be discussing this past weekend's teachings. Joining me in the Cedar Creek studios are Pastor Rob Gerber and Pastor Mark Anderson. Thank you both for being here, gentlemen.
Hey, great to be here.
Good morning.
So this past weekend, Rob, you did all the teaching on Friday night and on Sunday morning. This was wrapping up a three-part series on the Christian's Media Guide. Is that correct?
Yes.
So do you want to give us maybe just a quick summary of what you talked about?
Sure. It was the last one. We started off with guard your heart and mind, then guard your tongue, and then the last one was guard your kids. And the basic thought was, if we as adults need to guard ourselves, if there's just, you know, some danger for me as a you know, more mature Christian adult, then there's certainly danger for my kids and probably danger that they can't handle, because as adults there are things we can understand and handle and deal with that kids can't, and so our kids need help. So as parents, particularly, I was talking to parents, but this probably applies to all kinds of people who have influence with kids, we really do need to guard our kids, because there's a war for our kids' soul, just like there's a war for our souls. And you know, media is such an easy thing for our enemy to use. I think it's so attractive, it's so influential to us for all the reasons we've talked about, and our kids are just so tied into it. They understand technology and they're on it, and the world they live in it functions that way. So there's a lot of things coming through that. You know, it would be one thing if it was just you and your kids, and that was all of the content on their devices were coming from you as a parent or you and your kids, but it's not. There's the entire world is creating content and streaming it through your kids' devices, and that's a dangerous thing. So we need to guard our kids, and we talked about that quite a bit, talked about the danger there. And we got into some practical things. I tried to get a little practical. Now, it's different for every family, of course, and there's no, you know, hard and fast rules, I don't think, to these things. But the three major things I talked about were: expect to be different. If you want to protect your kids, you got to be willing to be different than the world. We can't just do what everybody else does and hope for a different result. Talk about managing the input, what your kids see, when they see it. And then mom and dad, you have to do that. And then the third thing was, you have to engage in it. You can't just, you know, tell your kids, okay, don't watch bad stuff, and then walk away. You have to be seeing what they see. You have to, you know, have access to their phones. And one thing I said that may have been shocking to people is that your kids shouldn't have an expectation of privacy on their media. And really, mom and dad, you shouldn't either. If you want to guard your kids, you have to set the pace. You have to set the example. And you can't say one thing and do another. So just being out there, seeing what your kids are seeing to the degree you can, and then talking to them about it. Hey, this was good. Hey, this was not so good. Hey, what does this mean? I think that's important.
All right. Well, thank you for that teaching. Listeners, if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to those, you can find the recordings from Friday night and from Sunday morning, I believe, on the website at seacreek.org/sermons. So I encourage you to go listen to the recording of Rob's teaching. This seems like, I mean, this is a big topic. There's a lot of stuff that this covers. There's a lot of, I'm sure, different avenues that it comes through with your kids. And it seems like it's probably one thing to talk about it, or to plan ahead, or to say, this is how we're going to handle, you know, media with our kids. We're kind of in that position right now. My wife and I, we have, you know, a one-year-old, and we're expecting some other kids soon that we're going to be adopting, but like, we don't really have to deal with this in a practical way all that much, so we can talk about it. But I imagine it's going to be very, very different when we actually have to do it. I thought maybe if you were willing to, it would be, you know, fun and useful to just kind of hear some maybe examples of what you went through with your kids, because you've both got older kids that you've been through this, I'm guessing, many, many times. Are there particular things that stick out in your minds as like this, as maybe things that were different than what you expected, or particular battles maybe you had over media types of issues?
Yeah. I was thinking about that this morning, and our kids, we raised our kids in the era where it was really rapidly, I mean, it's still rapidly changing, but rapidly changing in that our oldest son, I mean, he had his first cell phone. He was out of college before cell phones, you know, were all, everybody had them. And our couple of our middle kids thought that they were down on the UW-Madison campus. They believe they're the last two people to ever get a cell phone down there. But we were a bit slow adopters in our household because we thought, well, if you can get along without it, get along without it. And so I was just remembering how we first got the internet at our house. I mean, it was, should we get a dial-up modem, and should we get on the internet and have email and all that? And even at that time, we knew that there were things out there that would be accessible, and it's just exploded since then. And but you know, it's not just the internet. I mean, I think back, movies were a big thing for us in trying to help our kids make good choices there, because you can't just, I mean, you can put the, like Rob said on Sunday, you can put the parental controls on your TV, or you can buy the DVD with the bad parts cut out or something like that.
Yeah.
But very soon, if your kids are, very soon they're going to be choosing their own movies.
Yeah.
And helping them develop self-control and you know, some wisdom about what they watch.
Right. And that's such a huge part of this. And we really didn't get into it in the messages. But, you know, the goal is not to be your kid's conscience. It's to help them learn to do it themselves.
Right.
Because the time is coming soon with your kids when they're going to be making their own decisions. And so as parents, I mean, yes, when they're little and for a while we make those decisions for them, but it has to be with that long-term goal. If I want to help you to understand why and see the benefits and develop the conscience so that you can make these decisions for yourself. Because if you just put the controls on and then they go to college and those controls are gone, I mean, I've watched that happen time and time again. Kids hit college and they're outside of mom and dad's control and all bets are off and Katie barred the door and it's just crazy. So you're right, there's a lot of setting the limits, setting the boundaries, but then helping your kids understand it.
Yeah. I think. Did you ever watch a movie with your finger on the fast forward button?
Absolutely. Or close your eyes, kids.
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. Don't look.
Yeah. Who's going to keep their eyes open to see when it's over? You know.
Yes, we did that a lot.
Yeah. And that's talking about not an being willing to be different. Limiting what movies your kids can watch will make you different, because there are, I think people have gotten pretty comfortable with all kinds of stuff.
Right. And you know, that's one of the simple ways I think you can introduce your kids to this whole idea of, you know, we don't just watch or look at or listen to everything that comes down the pike, is we're going to think about this a little bit, and that movie we're not going to watch. And for us, one of the things that happened with me and my son, not on purpose, is, you know, just watching television, and there's lots of commercials that are just filled with images, generally of women, that as a husband, I don't want to look at. And so, you know, when we're just watching a football game or watching something on TV, you know, I've gotten into the habit of turning my head, and I'll tell Sam, turn your head, buddy. And so that's just a, you know, even something as innocuous as just watching a rerun of Andy Griffith on television, you see these crazy commercials filled with these images. So it's not just the internet, like you said, it's everything, that we're just kind of this constant barrage of images and sounds and thoughts and things that we have to recognize. These things have an impact on me. So just kind of taking the time in normal life to help your kids recognize, I got to be careful here.
I'm reminded every time I watch a football game, I joke that I only have to watch a quarter of a football game before I know I don't want to turn the TV on for the rest of the week, because they advertise TV shows, and they're, I mean, in my opinion, they're awful.
Yeah.
They're awful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's even music, you know, I really like music, but I know there's certain things I don't want to listen to. And it's, for some reason, one of my kids got into rap music. Now, I'm not going to sit here and bash rap, but I mean, I'm listening to the lyrics and I'm thinking, my goodness, these are angry, self-centered young men talking very loudly about how angry and lovely and how self-centered they are. And I'm thinking, my 15-year-old boy doesn't need any more of that. I mean, but just talking to him about it, it's just lots and lots of things come in that we have to help our kids to understand as much as we can. But I think it's important too, mom and dad, to recognize that there are some things that your kids just are not going to understand. And,
right.
And, you know, you don't put these controls on only if your kids understand them. Sometimes you just say, well, whether you get this or not, here's the limit.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. You were asking about, you know, controls or things we've done with our kids. I did this poorly to start when at least with the cell phone thing, and the, you know, that was a big thing for us too. And when my kids were old enough to get smartphones, one thing I think Suna did well is we didn't let our kids get cell phones until they could pay for them. So that was good for all kinds of reasons. One of the reasons is it delayed it quite a bit. But then it caught me off guard. My oldest just loved her cell phone, and I didn't know what to do with it. And so she would just be on it all the time, and I would just kind of not holler, but just bark commands, turn that thing off, put that thing down. It didn't help her at all. And so I had to learn as time went on. And it's different for different kids. You know, my oldest just was glued to that thing. My second one, not so much. It wasn't that big a deal. So, you know, each kid will be different too.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely remember having a lot of those discussions with my parents about things like movies and music, or, you know, even books and things, where, like, as a kid, I felt like I was being very persuasive in my reasons for why I should be allowed to watch this movie. But I didn't understand, like, you know, the reasons that they had, which at the time I thought were either you don't have any reasons, or right. or they're dumb.
Yes.
It didn't make any sense to me. And right. So I'm curious how much, like, one of the things that I was thinking about is how much do you, maybe when your kids are younger or even when they're older, do you try to keep up on, like, watching the same things that they're watching, or, like, you know, before they want to read a book, do you read it first or anything like that? Is that valuable, or is it more broad than that?
I think that that's something that you have to consider, you know, watching a movie. Or I was telling Josh earlier that when the Harry Potter books came out, I don't know.
Pretty dicey stuff there.
Yeah, well, you know, at the time.
I remember.
Clearly. And there's still folks that would maybe say they're not good, but we started hearing about them. Our oldest son was in college, I think, and he was reading them, and our younger kids wanted to read them. And so Nancy, before we said, Nancy read the first one.
Yeah.
And so I think I always like to listen to my kids' music. Well, except Peter's. Sorry, Peter, if you're listening to this. Just to enjoy what they're doing, knowing what they're listening to.
Or at least knowing what they're listening to, even if you don't enjoy it so much. Yeah, right. Yeah, you want to hear it. Yeah, yeah. I think it's important to see what your kids are seeing and to know what they're doing. So yeah, to read the books or watch the movies or see the TV shows that they like. But that means that I have to, like for me, that means that I have to access media more than I probably would otherwise.
Sure.
There are now TV shows that are only on Netflix or only on, you know, these other channels that I'm still watching network television. And so I have to, if I'm going to do that, and my kids are all excited about this show that's only on, you know, I don't even know what they are. I have to get that, and I got to watch it, and that means I got to get engaged a little bit more.
Yeah. You know, I think we automatically, when we think of the dangers in media, we automatically think of images, sexual images, violent images, right. That kind of thing. But, you know, there's a lot of information out there as well shapes worldview and how you perceive people and, you know,
absolutely. In fact, you know, like talk radio, when I get into my car, you know, one of my kids really got into talk radio, and okay, it's not the end of the world, but you're right, there are some extreme ideas that are presented very forcefully. And you got to be careful of that kind of stuff, because if you just listen to it and listen to it and listen to it, you will begin to take that worldview. And so, you know, you think, okay, my kid's listening to talk radio. Well, that's better than watching those movies.
Well,
it's just different. Yeah. Yeah, it's not necessarily better. It's yeah. just different. So
and
right.
discernment is discernment a skill or
it comes with age, and yeah. the kids don't have it, and they don't have the experience to be able to say, okay, there's some truth to that, but it's off. It's extreme. Yeah. They can't see that yeah. a lot yeah. of times.
I don't know that I would have expected to hear the phrase, my kids got really into talk radio. That, I didn't see that one coming.
Try to shake it up around here, keep you off balance, Josh.
Public radio, talk radio, and you know.
Yeah.
One of the other things that we were kind of talking about before we started recording a little bit was, you know, a lot of the things that your kids are exposed to are probably going to come through their friends. How much do you, or have you personally, maybe have you been involved with, you know, their friends' parents, or like meeting other families, or even giving opinions on what other kids in their families are watching or reading yeah. or anything? Is that, how far do you go with that?
Well, you have to do it to a degree when your kids are little. All of this changes as your kids age, too. It's not yeah. like, okay, here are the parameters, and it's going to be that way from the time you're born to sure. the time you're 18. It definitely changes as time goes on. When your kids are 5, 6, 7, and they're going to a birthday party, yeah, absolutely. You know, you're knowing where they're going. By the time they're 16, 17, 18, not so much. You know, you don't go knock on the door and say, hi, my 17-year-old boy knows your boy in school, and I want to make sure you folks are okay. It's a little different, I think. You still need to know something. It's a tough question, but I know when our kids were little, yeah, we would know what was going on before they'd go over somewhere, and we would definitely do some vetting on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think even as they get older, just to stay engaged, not be afraid to say, hey, what were you doing?
Yeah.
What'd you do last night? You know?
Who was there?
Who was there? Yeah. You know? Yeah. And just to find out, no.
One of the mistakes I made is early on is that those kinds of questions, be it what are you doing, who was there, or what are you seeing on your phone, I made them confrontational, and that was a mistake. I kind of went into it with the attitude, okay, you're probably doing something wrong, and yeah. I need to straighten this up. That was bad. I really didn't help. My, you know, early on, and I had to learn, okay, this has to be a conversation. And part of that is, okay, let's talk about it. And I have to be willing to acknowledge that there are some things that I don't like that probably aren't all that bad. And that's hard to do. To have the discernment to say, okay, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't look at this. But it's more a preference thing than a right or wrong thing. And to enforce your preferences on your kids is not helpful generally. You need to let them like what they like. And that's a hard thing to do. None of this is simple, parents. Yeah. None of this is simple. It's simple when your kids are 6. You just...
Yeah, yeah right.
No, we're not going to watch that. Okay. when they're 15, it's a lot harder.
Sure. I'm curious about the parents' question again, just to come back to that a little bit. I was thinking as you were talking, like, how would I feel if another kid's parents approached me and said, like, you know, our son said they watched this movie at your house or whatever, and we don't like that. Has that ever happened to you, or how do you think you would handle
that? Yeah, that's happened. That's happened. People have asked about things that have happened at our house. You know, and I guess, yeah, it's easy to take offense at that, but the honest truth is I shouldn't. I should applaud that parent because I've done it. Yeah. Sure. I've been on the other side. And so.
I was just recalling a funny episode when one of our sons and his friend were watching Ace Ventura movie and some little kids were around. It was pretty funny. It has to do with a rhinoceros.
I don't know if we can recommend watching that movie or not, but were there things that you had like major fights with your kids about and had to kind of draw the line of you will not watch this movie or whatever? Were there things that there were major struggles over?
For us, it was just early on, and still is. It's, you know, put the phone down during supper, or you know, early on I said, okay, we're going to have, you know, 2 hour, I forget what it was, an hour or 2 hours every day that's, you know, no device
phone free
time. Yeah, all the phones get turned off. and that was not popular. And you know, so that was it, I guess, for us.
Yeah, I don't recall any major battles or I mean, I remember being unpopular when I said they couldn't go to certain movies or watch certain movies, but
yeah,
they got over it. They will live when you if you say no, they will live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have to recognize it, you know, that term unpopular, dad and mom, you're going to be unpopular sometimes, and that's okay. I mean, if you have to be willing to be unpopular, because Josh, you said it, it's as a kid, you know, mom and dad say, well, I can't do this, and you can't for the life of you figure out what mom and dad are thinking. It just makes no sense to a kid that I can't do this thing. And so you're not going to be able to convince your kids of the rightness of it. And I've learned saying, well, I'm older and I know better, it doesn't help
me. Yeah, that doesn't go that very doesn't far when you're a kid.
You're older and don't know nothing.
You don't know anything.
But there are times when you just have to say, well, you know what? You don't understand. I get that, but this is the rule.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're just about out of time. That was a pretty quick discussion, but I appreciate your thoughts on this. It certainly is not. I probably have more trepidation about this as my kids are going to get older than I maybe need to. But it just sounds like a lot of work.
And I would just like to say to parents, you know, we really can look at this with fear and loathing and trepidation. But you know, the world we live in is no different than the world that people lived in 100 years ago, in the sense that there's evil in the world and your kids have to make choices. I mean, that's no different, and this doesn't fool God. And I really do like that verse in John 10:10. That's what we ended the message with. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's true. And the world wants to steal your kids, kill them, destroy them. But Jesus' purpose is that I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, or a rich and full life. And so, mom and dad, we can do this, and we're not alone. God helps us, but don't despair. It's a lot of work and it's confusing, but don't despair.
Yeah.
All right.
Good words.
Well, again, thank you both for your thoughts. I appreciate it. Certainly, I would guess that if parents have other questions or maybe more specific questions, is it all right if they come find you and ask you about those things?
Yeah, talk to each other. Talk about this stuff. Don't try to do it yourself.
Yeah.
All right. So this coming weekend, we're starting a new series. Is that right? What is that series going to be about?
We're going to do 3 weeks on Psalm 50. We're just going to walk through Psalm 50 for 3 weeks. And then, believe it or not, we're into the summer series, One Summer Service.
All right. Well, listeners, I encourage you to join us this weekend for the first part of that series on Psalm 50, Friday night at 6:30 p.m. and then Sunday morning at 9 and 10:45. We hope to see you there. If you're not able to make it, the recordings will be available online or wherever you found this podcast recording. So again, we encourage you to listen to those, and we'll be back next week to talk about it. So again, thank you, Mark and Rob. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, thank you.
Everybody have a great week.
Music for this podcast provided by DNK via freemusicarchive.org.